And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials as I try to get the buttons pushed here. Okay, there we go. I'm good now. Okay, I listened to a lecture on YouTube this week, and I found it very intriguing and interesting because the gentleman of this that was giving the talk was talking about how dangerous olive oil is for you. And he made a point to say that he was not going to cover the research because there was just too much research demonstrating that, and so I said, well, what's he going to say about this? Because I mean, if you look in the Bible, didn't they use the olive trees and the groves to provide olive oil for many uses? It's edible, you can eat it. Well, as I listened to him talk, the entire sales pitch was built around one concept or idea. He showed a picture of blood and how clear it was when somebody ate a salad minus the olive oil on the salad. And then he showed the blood of someone that had ingested a meal of high fat, and it looked kind of milky, like it had a lot of fat in it. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I remember seeing pictures of a baby's, you know, blood after they've nursed before. I'm sure you've heard this before, but mother's breast milk is exactly 54% pure fat. So you could probably build a case and say to yourself, hey, a brand new baby that comes in the world that nurses mother's breast milk, they have a high-fat diet because fat is by far and away the most dominant calorie the baby ingests. Well, if you take baby's blood, it looks kind of milky also. Well, my point is, it's supposed to. If you consume fat, your blood is the transportation system that's going to deliver this to the cells. You may have heard this before also, but your heart's main preferred source of energy that it prefers above all else is fat. It is not alcohol, it is not sugar, it is not carbohydrates. That kind of throws people off sometimes. It's fat. And so when you ingest good, high-quality fat, well, I'm going to read an article to you. I borrowed this from Dr. David Perlmutter, but I think it's good. And all I want you to do is just consider this just for a moment, because this is a pretty big study right here. Official dietary guidelines in the past recommended restricting fat to reduce the risk of preventable diet-related conditions like cardiovascular disease. That's heart disease. Now, here's a study. A landmark study published in The Lancet, which I know you've heard of The Lancet before. That's a very prestigious medical journal. But in this study, they challenged the current health policies, ultimately demonstrating a linear association between fat and lower total mortality. That's just a fancy way of saying when you consume ample amounts of fat, your health actually improves and you live longer. Here it is right here. A team of scientists investigated associations between diet and mortality in 135,335 people, and they were all between the age of 35 and 70. I'm actually in that category, just barely. They took them from over 18 countries, and what they did was they followed them over an average of 7.4 years. So it's not like a drug study where they just monitor a person for 3 months and then don't do any further monitoring. The research team, led by Masheed Degan, they found that high carbohydrate intake corresponded to an adverse impact on total mortality and non-cardiovascular disease mortality. That means you had a lot more health problems and didn't live near as long when you consumed high carbohydrates. Now, you and I would probably say, what does he mean, high carbohydrates? Most likely grains and sugar, especially refined grains and sugar. We're talking about packaged foods here. Now, by contrast, a higher intake of saturated, monounsaturated, that'd be olive oil, and polyunsaturated fat was associated with a lower risk of total death and non-cardiovascular disease mortality. Additionally, they go on to say that a fat intake of about 35% of total calories correspond to a lower overall risk of death compared to a lower percentage of fat in the diet. This is basically the way it works. If you're not eating enough fat to satisfy your body's requirements for energy, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a severe energy deficit, and that means you're going to crave carbohydrates. I couldn't even tell you how many times I've heard that come from a person's lips, that I didn't realize how many carbs I was eating. And of course, if you start your day with heavy carbohydrates, like donuts or pancakes, most likely you're going to go through a hormonal chain reaction where you're craving carbs 2 hours later. But if you started your day with, you know, two eggs that were lightly cooked in butter or hard-boiled, boiled in water, with half an avocado, there's a chance that's going to kind of stick to your bones and you're not going to be hungry again for a while. The authors concluded, and I'm quoting them, high carbohydrate intake was associated with a higher risk of total mortality, whereas total fat and individual types of fat are related with lower total mortality. Total fat and types of fat are not associated with cardiovascular disease or a myocardial infarction, that's called a heart attack, or cardiovascular disease mortality, whereas saturated fat had an inverse association with stroke. Global dietary guidelines should be reconsidered in a lot of these findings. But that's just the deal. Probably not going to happen. Once the idea has been promoted that all fat is evil and bad, it is hard to get people off that train. It just really is. In light of that, to me, this is very fascinating. I got this from Dr. Joe Mercola. He put this out on 1/5 of 2010. That means that was over 9 years ago. According to research posted on Mercola.com, scientists have found further evidence that a very specific neuropeptide called oxytocin — how do you get oxytocin? Actually, it's produced by your pituitary gland. But how do you get your body to make more of it? Well, skin-to-skin contact with another human being. That could be just as simple as reaching out with your hand and touching a child's hand, or your wife's hand, or sister or brother. But you also get it when you kiss, touching of any kind, massage therapy, for example. I have read before that if you selflessly, unselfishly give your time to another human being, and that could be as simple as holding the door open for a sweet, adorable little old lady that needs to go into a store and you want to be kind to her. Or if someone from church has been missing for a while because they've been sick or infirmed, and you take the time to write a handwritten note of appreciation or express love to them, that causes your body to generate oxytocin. And so when you do that, your body starts producing more oxytocin, which is one of the most important neuropeptides of all time. But what this means is you have greater heart health. Who would have thought that being kind to someone else, whether it's giving them a hug or holding the door open for them or writing a note of appreciation, is going to improve the health of your heart? But it does. Researchers have discovered also that oxytocin, if your body starts releasing it, it reduces cell death in the heart that has been injured. So if someone's had a heart attack, well, who needs a pat on the shoulder? Or who needs a hug? Well, they do. It also reduces inflammatory factors that normally would cause illnesses or slow healing. Oxytocin has a wonderful effect on infants, but it's actually very beneficial for everyone. It sometimes is known as the bonding or the love hormone. But if you want to improve your mental, emotional, physical health, well, maybe oxytocin's the way to go about doing that. Now, where's my other article I found? I think this came from Children's Hospital. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm getting close. I know I am. I can feel it. Okay. This is also, now, going back to that neuropeptide I just mentioned called oxytocin, That's free. You don't have to pay for it. I mean, yes, if you can't, you know, if your cervix doesn't dilate when you're going into labor properly and you just don't progress the way it should, they'll give you Pitocin, which is the same as oxytocin. But listen to this right here. And I've heard stories from many, many mothers that have adopted children and a lot of foster mothers. And they've told me that when kids have been on, you know, pain-relieving drugs, when mama took them when she was pregnant, really hard to handle. Opioid withdrawal has been described as excruciatingly painful and terrifying. Addicts almost always feel as though they're dying. So when a newborn baby is addicted to opioids, it begins convulsing and vomiting uncontrollably and is brought to the neonatal intensive care unit at CHOC, which is known as Children's Hospital in Orange County, California. And they go there for highly specialized care. And it's not just the neonatologist staff that they call. It's also Ruth McCarty, clinical director of, and get this, this is California, not Jacksonville or Tyler, clinical director of Chinese medicine and acupuncture at Children's Hospital in Orange County, California. McCarty comes with an arsenal of time-tested holistic remedies to induce calm and well-being and relieve the pain and suffering. What radical therapies does she do? This is just massaging the baby's limbs while playing soft music and having the infant inhale a blend of essential oils while she applies acupressure or performs acupuncture. Maybe you don't like needles. That's fine by me. But isn't that interesting? The very thing that would reduce damage to the heart muscle is called oxytocin. Well, don't you think that Ruth McCarty's on the right track here? She's taking kids that are probably addicted to opioids, and that's all she's doing is just hugging and kissing and touching them. Isn't that interesting? It did not say exactly what the essential oil blend is. But if you've used essential oils, these are just terpene compounds, volatile aromatic compounds that come from nature, usually from flowers or from herbs, sometimes spices, other plants. But these are natural things. Rarely do you hear of a human being having a horrible reaction to essential oils or herbs or vitamins. You just don't. I mean, it happens occasionally, but nothing compared to what happens when you take drugs. Drugs are chemicals. Now, in the past, I've talked about a particular hormone that's very hard on the body when you have way too much of it. It's called cortisol. Well, I'm still trying to research exactly how it works. One day, I will get the answer to my question. But that neuropeptide called oxytocin, you get that. It's released when you hug or you do an act of kindness to benefit somebody else. But it completely obliterates and knocks out cortisol. You tell me, is the world stressed? Oh, my word. I won't mention names of businesses, but I have a front row seat on people every single day that are desperate to get relief from stress. Those of you that know where my office is, they know what I'm talking about. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there have been several people trying to get through. Please give me a call. I'll take the phone call now. 903-586-5257. If you'd like to ask me a question or make a comment. This program is called Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. And I will be glad to help you any way I can. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I've been told I have osteoporosis pretty bad.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how I can reduce that with diet or whatever it might take.
Are you taking any drugs for your thyroid right now?
No.
Do you take any steroids like prednisone?
No.
Do you like to exercise?
I would, but I hurt my back, and I've not had as much opportunity lately.
Would you say that you're pretty open-minded when it comes to the idea of nutrition?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I like this conversation. All right, I have a sales pitch for you. I'm going to present to you that there's only one form of calcium that has truly been shown to consistently help rebuild the bones. And it's kind of a wordy one. It's called microcrystalline hydroxyapatite. But usually it's just abbreviated MCHC. And so if you can find a supplement that contains MCHC, I would say that would be a very good investment for a girl that wants to try to rebuild the strength of her bones. Now, the next thing. I'm making notes right here so I don't, like, backtrack. There is a mineral known as magnesium. I am completely convinced that magnesium is actually probably more important to rebuilding the bones than even calcium is. I know this probably sounds odd because you just hadn't heard that before. But sometimes when I brush my teeth, I will take and just spray magnesium on my toothbrush. Yes, it doesn't taste great because it's magnesium chloride. Guess where magnesium chloride comes from? It comes from the Dead Sea, you know, there in Israel. You know what a man told me the other day? He said he thinks maybe Lot's wife may have turned to a pillar of salt. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. But do you take magnesium at all?
No, but as far as eating it, I think I get a lot. I'm not sure.
Well, from someone that's done this for 30 years, it is really easy to burn through the magnesium that you eat because every human being is different. Depending on how your system deals with stress, you may actually burn through magnesium faster than what you can replace it with food only. So out of all the the minerals that are out there, I think that magnesium is probably the top of my list of a very, very good one to supplement. So if you were going to choose one vitamin to take in addition to what you're eating, I mean, you get magnesium when you eat wheat germ. It's found in almonds. You got it in green vegetables. So if you like eating those things, perfect. But you may need to supplement a little bit if the goal is to kind of get your body over the hump and start growing bones at a faster rate than what they break down. Because technically on paper, what osteoporosis is, it's the bones are breaking down and deteriorating at a faster rate than what your bone cells can grow new bone. So magnesium may be your best friend. Another one that I like very, very much is called vitamin K2.
Okay.
And that's a fat-soluble vitamin along with vitamin D3. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll take my thumb and I'll press right there below the thyroid into what's called the sternal notch. And I'll just kind of gently work my thumb down along the center of the breastbone as I press firmly. If the breastbone becomes increasingly tender, to me, that's a pretty valuable clue. That's the way that old-time doctors used to do this. They would say, you're low in fat-soluble vitamins, but you've got to have fat-soluble vitamins to stimulate your body to concentrate enough calcium to rebuild the bones. And so if your breastbone is a little bit tender as you press, or your hips are tender, always think fat-soluble vitamin deficiency. Did I tell you about the time I walked up to that woman in Luby's that had the grandchild with her?
Yeah.
This little baby was beautiful. She had blue eyes, blonde hair, but her legs were bowed. Haven't you seen the old cartoons of the cowboys with really bowed legs from, you know, riding in the saddle all day long?
Right.
Well, there's a condition called rickets, and that's where the bones become soft. And so they're so soft, they just bend under the weight of the body. And anyway, I walked up to her and I said, I think the child would benefit if we gave her some D3 and some K2. It didn't go over real well, but I still think I did. Maybe I need to work on my sales pitch when I cold call somebody in public like that. But there's other people I've talked to, and I've seen like two cases of real severe rickets in children in about a 3-month period, which is kind of unusual. But you know, sometimes that's the way it works. When you see, just like I've seen probably 10 cases of real severe Meniere's disease or vertigo where they had, you know, rocks in their ears and we had to get them to fall out, they just kind of come in droves sometimes. And so vitamin K2 and D3, besides vitamin K and MCHC or the microcrystalline hydroxyapatite, those are the bomb. That's exactly what you need.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that I want to tell you, since you mentioned diet, and I'm so thankful that you have an open mind, you have got to have the right amount of fat to enhance absorption of these nutrients. And so you may have heard me mention that study from the University of Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. They went to a nursing home, and all they did was put a pat of butter on the green beans or the broccoli or the cabbage that was served. And they noticed in a short period of time that nutrient absorption went up by 15%. And, of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? 15%? They're helping a whole lot of people get better and stronger. Do you have any problem with butter at all?
I eat butter every day.
Oh, good. I bet you go to the refrigerator, grab a stick of it, and just walk around the house eating it like a popsicle, don't you?
No.
Oh, rats. Do you drink coffee at all?
I have it on oatmeal, and I have it on potatoes, and, you know, I have it on my food.
If all you do is take your oatmeal and you soak it overnight with maybe a spoonful of either apple cider vinegar or kefir or, you know, kombucha, something like that, what you'll do is the good beneficial organisms in the kombucha or the kefir water or the kefir, that will actually break down the phytates or the phthalic acid, because that's what prevents you from absorbing minerals when you have oatmeal. So if you just soak your oats overnight and then cook them and eat them, you'll be good to go.
Hmm.
You ever heard of that before?
No, and are you just talking about whole oats?
Yeah, exactly. You just take the whole oats. Let me just say it this way. What if you had like a mason jar, just a clear glass jar? You pour the oatmeal in there, cover it with water, and just put a spoonful of, either kefir or kombucha or apple cider vinegar. Just like if you go to the store and it says Bragg's apple cider vinegar with the mother. They're just talking about the culture of beneficial microbes. There's actually a lot of ways to do it. You could take Bubby's sauerkraut, because that's actually a raw sauerkraut that hasn't been pasteurized. So that means it's teeming with life. And that is the number one strategy to have when I try to improve a person's health. You've got to put living foods in the body. Sometimes it's called one green salad a day. If everything that a person eats is just 100% cooked food, it's really hard to get them to the next level.
Well, I have been concentrating on eating more things like fresh almonds, and I eat salad, all different kinds of salad, fresh items. I think I'm eating right. I just think I need to concentrate on supplements, maybe.
If I took and put everything on the table that we're talking about, I can still tell you what the most important thing is. And this is going to be like a little bit of a stretch of a topic, but I want you to believe what I'm saying. You may not, but I want you to. Your bone cells are basically a piezoelectric crystal. And so every time you take a step and your heel strikes the ground, I mean just a normal way, it causes a little bit of a gentle piezoelectric shock to those bone cells, and it stimulates them to lay down bone. And so as strange as that sounds, that's exactly how bone growth takes place. You've got to shock the cells. And so out of all the things I mentioned, the number one factor is physical weight-bearing exercise. And so you've had an injury, and it may be that you have to, lift very light weights with your upper body if you can't move your back. And it may be that you have to do some body weight exercises. But walking and physical exercise, that provides a stimulus to tell your body to lay down new bone.
Okay.
Hopefully we can find a way to get into that.
Oh, I'm gonna take some physical therapy.
Well, you know what you could do? You could just lay in bed and do these things for 15 minutes each morning before you get out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What do you think they do with somebody that has like a really severe back injury that requires surgery? Mm-hmm. They have them just lay in bed and do all the physical therapy. You could probably get on YouTube right now and type in what are all the exercises I could do to strengthen my back or heal a back injury or heal an injury while I'm laying in bed? And you can go through all the isotonic and the isometric and the stretches, all of them. You could do it from your bed. Provided that your bed is not like a sponge that sinks down into a deep hole. That may be kind of hard.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you. You're a good girl. You're moving in the right direction.
I'm trying.
Oh, you're doing great.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I hope this helps a whole bunch.
I think it might.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, if you would like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program. Thanks for your phone call.
Thank you. I have a question. My daughter had some blood work, and I just wasn't happy with what they did not give her much information. It said that her thyroid antibodies are both positive, indicating an autoimmune thyroid disorder. Mm-hmm. As your other thyroid labs are in normal range, there is no need for intervention at this time.
That is maddening, isn't it?
Monitor. Yeah, and then this, her thyroid paradoxase antibodies, it said it's supposed to be below 9 on the reference range. Hers is a 258.
Well, you know what the number could be? It could be 0, but it's not. That means her body, she's in autoimmune right now. Her body, most likely she has either Hashimoto's or Graves.
Well, I have Hashimoto's.
I'm going to say she has Hashimoto's.
Yeah, well, she's 23 and, you know, does have trouble, you know, keeping the pounds off.
Likely it's Hashimoto's then.
Well, why would they say there's nothing to do right now? Don't worry about it.
That's only a person's opinion, and just because they say that doesn't mean that they're being accurate or they're giving her good advice. And that's a shame, but do you mind if I have a go with this?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, I am chomping at the bit. I'm rubbing my hands together. I can't even wait. All right, I'm going to try to really nail home an idea. And this is going to be, this shouldn't be that hard. If I tell you the thyroid, or your daughter's thyroid, is the largest gland that she has that produces hormones, would you believe that?
Yeah, absolutely, I would.
And the thyroid plays a huge role in how efficiently you convert fuel into energy. So, I mean, it has everything to do with how you metabolize food, or a girl's metabolism. But this has far-reaching effects to every cell in her body, and so she's 23. She's like a young babe. I mean, she's brand spanking new, isn't she?
Yes. What happened?
And so here's what I want to suggest to you. I don't even know how many hundreds of cases I've seen of Hashimoto's. I just haven't seen one yet where they can tolerate eating wheat. And what I'm going to suggest to you is, every time that she eats wheat, she's driving this chemical reaction in her body toward autoimmunity. And so what I want to do is I want to give you some very precise hope here. I know I'm going to really oversimplify this, but if I could convince your daughter to do 2 or 3 things, this is what I would do. I would beg and plead with her to completely give up all sources of wheat and grains for about 2 months. And what that leaves is meat and vegetables and fruit.
Okay.
The next thing that I would do, there's a concept called autophagy. And that means if you only eat 2 meals a day, say lunch and supper, and skip breakfast, your body will work toward cleaning the thyroid and repairing it and cleaning the blood where you don't have autoimmunity. That is a gold mine right there. I've seen that work. Oh my goodness, yes. And you know what? So far, these 2 things I've told you, they're completely free.
Yes, they are.
And they're non-toxic. I mean, she could technically say, Mom, I do not like this plan because I like eating breakfast. And you say, well, I'm real sorry. But if you know, but the whole deal is just nuts for the following reason. Why do we have to wait till she's completely sick and has a catastrophic failure before we take action?
I know you'd say that.
Well, I know, because it just drives me. You don't even know. I'm like boiling on the inside right now, but that didn't move the needle or change anything on this. But what I want to encourage you is if she could completely... The thing of it is, she can question everything I'm saying right now. You could look at the research on consumption of wheat. I think there's an 87% correlation to eating wheat and Hashimoto's. It's like a slam dunk home run. If she would start skipping breakfast and only eat lunch and supper and eat one raw green salad a day, I think we could get there really, really fast. But can I tell you the supplements that I just use over and over and over again with this?
Yes, that's what I need.
Okay. There's a company called Standard Process. They've been making supplements since 1929. I'm thinking that's just a few years ago. Actually, that's, what, 90? But anyway, to make a long story short, they manufacture a product. It's called Thytrophin PMG.
Thytrophin PMG.
Yeah, PMG stands for protomorphogen glandular. And if she swallows this, this is what's going to happen. Her immune system will stop attacking her thyroid. I know that's a very bold thing to say, but if you get on their website and you read about that, I think that you'll be quite impressed and you'll say, what have we got to lose by taking a nutritional supplement? Now, yes, it is made from the thyroid gland of a cow. I don't have any problem with cows, do you?
Oh, no.
I like them.
In fact, I take the Synthroid, and I wanted the armor, so I take the armor from the pig. So animals, that's good.
Yeah, well, God gave us cattle, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
The other supplement that I'm very, very fond of is vitamin D3 and vitamin K2. And I think if you wanted to look up the research on that, or she did, she'd be quite impressed. And she says, Mom, did you know that when somebody's low in D3 or K2, they're more prone to autoimmunity like Hashimoto's? And you'd say, daughter, that's brilliant. What are we going to do about that? Well, I'm going to start taking D3 and K2, Mom.
Her D3 was low.
Oh, see, the story's all coming together. Do you happen to remember what the number was? Well, actually, it doesn't even matter. If it was low, it was low.
Yes.
That means she doesn't have enough to get the job done for optimal function.
Okay.
And, so if we start giving her the very thing that she needs, see, that's the beauty of nutrition. You feed the body what it needs, and it starts working right. Simple as that.
Yes, or don't give it what it doesn't need, like the wheat.
You got it.
True.
There's an herb. It's called hemidecimus, but I use a herbal complex called Romagna complex. I couldn't even tell you how many hundreds of bottles I've used of that product, and I've always been so pleased with it.
What's the name of that again?
It's called Romagna. I'm gonna try to spell that, but let me kind of write it down here. I hope I spell it right. Do you have your pencil handy?
Oh yes.
Okay, good girl. R-E-H-M-A-N-I-A, Romagna complex. But it does contain an herb called hemidecimus. So between vitamin K and vitamin D3, those are fat-soluble vitamins. Your body's got to have them. And most likely they come from a yeast or a bacterial fermentation process. So that means there's no tree that provides vitamin D3. But, you know, when you... take a supplement that's from yeast fermentation, at least a living form of life made it for us, so I kind of dig that. It's not synthetic. But between that, Thytrophin PMG, it comes from cows, and Romagna, that comes from an herb. So what's the difference between herbs and spices and foods? Well, they all contain nutrients. Can I ask you a personal question?
Okay.
Do you like spicy foods that have a lot of flavor?
Yes.
Oh, you and I are one and the same. I love spicy food.
Yes,
sometimes I like it so much I want my eyes to water. That's never happened to you before, has it?
Oh, yes, we do. We love spicy.
Well, what would be the one thing that you would eat or could eat that might make your eyes water just a little bit?
Well, probably my daughter, Pico. She puts a lot of jalapenos in it.
Oh, there you go. I was at my son Christopher. He said, Dad, I bought a pepper for you. And I looked at it. I said, Christopher, that pepper is the size of a watermelon. I ain't eating that. He said, I dare you. I said, okay. I had every Hispanic individual at Super Gallo here in Jacksonville. They were laughing at me nonstop because I couldn't see. I ate the pepper, but I was in misery for like 5 minutes afterwards.
Oh, no.
But I love them, though.
Is it good for your body to eat hot things?
Well, here's the way I'm going to say it. You know, everything has a purpose that God has made, and it's just that Roy Morgan sometimes is a little slow figuring out what the purpose is. But sometimes I eventually figure them out. But if you told me that you felt just a little bit off, if you ate something very hot and spicy enough to, you know, make you start to clear your throat and your nose water and your eyes water a bit, or your nose run and your eyes water is what I should have said. Actually, what happens is you're purging the body of tons of viral entities. And so I go back to that study from the British Medical Journal. They had 2,000 people in the study. This is back in the late 90s. And they said, please, the next time you feel like that you're coming down with a case of the flu, the only thing we want you to do is go to an Indian food restaurant, eat the spiciest food you can. You know, something with like really hot curry. Mm-hmm. And it had like an 87 or 88% cure rate. The moment you're coming down with influenza or the flu, if you ate a very spicy meal enough to make your nose water and your eyes run, okay, I got that backwards. But if you did that, it would flush the virus right out of your body. So, yes, it has a good purpose. I think it has a purging.
They had a neighbor, my parents, but she was over 100. She ate hot peppers every day.
I'm thinking we can learn some from that 100-year-old neighbor.
Right. But I definitely knew who to call because when my daughter was it fifth grade, her feet were cracking and bleeding, and took her to the doctor, and he gave her Zyrtec and Cordate cream, which did nothing. And I got on the internet, and they said, drink more water, use this paste, nothing helped. And I called you, and you said, oh, she needs omega-3s. And I started giving her Carlson's fish oil, and within, I'd say, 3 weeks, all those cracks. I mean,
talking about that was 18 years ago.
That was, I don't know how long you've been on there, but she was, and we were still
a hair longer than 18 years.
Well, we were still in Tyler, and she was, I think, in fifth grade at Rice Elementary there, and she'd pull her sock off, and the blood would stick to it.
Oh, my poor thing. That's horrible.
Yeah, so I don't know why, if there's a correlation, but her body does not, you know, she has a problem, and she did have eczema as a child, so there's probably a...
I think there's, and eczema is actually an autoimmune disease also.
Yes.
So I think all this can be solved, and I know what you want for your daughter. You want her to have the very best chance to have a good go at this life on Earth, don't you?
Yes, yeah, she's so perplexed. She said, Mom, they said not to do anything, but
the number
is so far off.
But, you know, she's 23, and she can make up her own mind, but she can say... Even if they tell me they want me to wait till I'm near death, I think I'll go ahead and take charge of my health right now. She's really the only one that can.
Yes. Well, I sure appreciate
you. You're welcome. I think
that's what we'll do.
I want you to know I'm 100% confident by what I've told you.
Well, we're confident whatever you tell us because it sure worked the last time.
Okay, good. Well, 18 years in between, we'll try them again. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. Bye bye.
That's funny. She's called me twice, 18 years ago and now. If you'd like to join me on the radio, the phone line is once again open. It's 903-586-5257. You know, it's going to be pretty distressing to have blood dry to your socks and have to peel them off. Man. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I am a 79-year-old female, and in 2018, I was diagnosed with the flu, went to the doctor, they did the test. I got over that fine, and I cough lingered. And then this past year, in February, I started having the same symptoms again, and I went to the doctor. He told me I did not have the flu. I had some congestion, and I took the medicine. had some cough medicine, took it occasionally, but it I don't do well with strong medicine. And I have
that makes
coughed
two of us.
Ever since. I cannot shake this cough. I cough when I lay down. I cough when I eat. I cough continuously.
Oh, no.
And I went back to the doctor, and he told me to take some things for allergy, like Zyrtec and stuff like that. I have done that, and I cannot get rid of this cough. So I am anything you can tell me.
If you'll come up here to the station right now, I will take my hands and I will drive those evil spirits out of your lungs. I'll beat them out of you. Is that okay?
Thank you. I would love to be able to do that, but I'm too far away.
Actually, I don't appreciate you trying to deceive me. There's no way you sound like you're 79. You're more like about 49.
Well, thank you, but I'm not.
Yeah, but your mind is sharp. I love it.
Well, I'm running my husband out of the bed at night because I cough, and I don't cough very feminine. I cough like a bullfrog. I mean,
I was driving down the road last night with my window cracked. I think I heard it come in.
Most likely you did. I mean, I have
it's either that or there's a flock of geese overhead.
I have to get up and leave church, and you know, sometimes because when I start to cough, I mean, you're just going to have to cough it out. It's going to take a couple of minutes.
It has to run its course, doesn't it?
Yes. And so,
now, does anything come up discolored?
Sometimes I spit up quite a bit of phlegm, and it's real thick. It's not colored like green or anything like that, but it's very thick. And it's just, I don't know what it is. Every time I try to eat anything, for a while I thought it was just my throat was irritated, and I, you know, crunchy things would make it. So I stopped, you know, the crunchy things, and that hasn't helped. I mean, it's just like magic. When I start to eat, I want to cough.
Okay.
And
are you taking a heart medication of any kind, blood pressure?
No, the only thing I take is I take a blood pressure medication, and I occasionally take a pain reliever I try to walk as much as I can. And sometimes when my knee starts really giving me a fit, I'll take a little pain killer for that. But I do not stay on anything like that.
What is the name of the medication?
What medication? For the pain?
Blood pressure.
Oh, I'll have to look it up for
you. Is it lisinopril?
No, it started out, let me see. I'm sorry, it starts with O. O-L-M. Just a minute. I have my radio on, so I have to go turn it off.
That spells OM.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay. It's OLMESARTAN, and then it's HCTZ.
Okay. So it's got a diuretic in it. That's probably the same as Losartan.
He started me on Benicar, and then the last couple of times I had this filled, they gave me this generic. Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
Well, I know this is taking a little bit of time, but I'm going to go on drugs.com real quick. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about how we're going to take care of this, okay?
I'm worried that something's going on in my lungs.
Well, there is something going on in your lungs, and your lungs are doing everything they can to kind of eject the inflammation or the phlegm, and we need to find a way to get them clean where you can be free of this.
Okay.
Now, what would your blood pressure be if you weren't taking this drug?
It would be pretty high. I mean, normal for me is about 100, between 140, 150. That's considered about normal for me. I mean, if my husband's over 120, his is high. If mine's over 140 to 160, I think I'm okay.
Okay.
My blood pressure has always run in my family. And heart disease is always running in my family, and so I visit a cardiologist once a year. He does the whole, you know, the stress test thing, and says I'm in great shape with my heart. So,
well, I'm glad he thinks so. I mean, good for that.
I mean, okay. Considering my family history, I think I feel blessed to not have problem.
There's a concept I'm going to have you play with right here.
All right.
Every time that you eat, that stimulates the coughing, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you can't go the rest of your life without eating. I mean, you got to have food.
Well, go ahead.
No. There's several things, and you're going to have to forgive me. I'm just kind of a gung-ho person on these things, and so I'm going to give you like a list. And so thanks for being very open-minded. Number one, I'm going to ask you to skip breakfast every day if you can. Because what I want is if you have your last meal of the day at 5 o'clock with your husband, and you go from 5 o'clock in the evening till 5 o'clock in the morning, there's exactly 12 hours of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
If you go from 5 to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock before you have your first meal, that means you're fasting 18 hours a day. But what happens is your body starts flipping the set of switches, and that's called autophagy. And so your body is going to actually focus all its energy on trying to get rid of the inflammation and heal the lungs. And
okay.
So I'm not trying to tell you what the lung problem is. I'm just trying to help create the right circumstances to heal.
Yes.
Because you're a highly motivated woman. A very intelligent one at that. And so if you skip breakfast and you push off your morning cup of coffee till 11 o'clock in the morning, I would be very tickled about that.
Okay.
Number next.
It will be hard, but I can do that.
Well, it will be hard, yes. And
but life is not always easy.
When is life ever easy? just about never, right? So the other thing that I want you to do is if you can gain access to lemons, what I want you to try for about a week or so is just squeezing lemon juice into every glass of water that you drink.
Oh, I can do that.
Oh, good. So water is a solvent, and lemon juice is a solvent, and so you're trying to help cut and reduce the mucus and phlegm that builds up in the body. And so if you do that, the other thing that I want you to try, now I'm not 100% sure about this, I just know it's my go-to when there's phlegm in the throat with eating.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll take a little bit of raw honey, put it in water,
okay.
not a lot, and add, well, I'm pretty gung-ho, I usually add about a tablespoon or two of just raw apple cider vinegar,
okay,
just to see if that helps. Now, if any of these things don't help, obviously you discontinue them. It's an experiment.
Yes, okay. Okay, so honey and...
apple cider vinegar.
Yes, my husband takes apple cider every day.
Good. Number next. I love this technique. I'm not trying to overpromise anything to you, but I think it's worth a trial. And then I'll get on to some very specific supplements just momentarily. But here goes. If you had like a kettle that you would, like a tea kettle that you would pour water in and put on the stove and heat up.
Yes.
I love the kinds that have those flip lids that, whistle.
Yes.
But I always leave the lid open. So when that thing comes to a roaring boil, there's going to be steam that's going to come out of that throat of the kettle. But there's an herb or a spice called thyme or thyme, T-H-Y-M-E.
Okay.
And if you will, you could buy a brand new stainless steel kettle at the store for, $9 maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe less than that for all I know.
Yeah.
And so if you had one of those just dedicated, because thyme or thyme is pretty strong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will, you need to stand, I don't know how tall you are, but I do not want you burning your eyelashes or your eyebrows with a hot steam. So you need to be probably 18 inches away.
Okay, well, so, I'm a big 5'2", so.
Oh, that tall. You may need a stool.
Yes.
Just don't fall off a stool. But if you had a towel over your head, you're just trying to capture the steam.
Yes, like an old-fashioned humidifier we used to do with our kids.
Oh, yes. You got the concept down cold. Perfect. And so if you will give yourself a steam breathing treatment between 2 and 3 times a day, if it lasts for about 10 minutes, all you're doing is standing far enough away where you can still get those medicinal, vapors from the herb thyme, mm-hmm. or thyme. And if you'll just breathe that deeply into your lungs.
Okay.
The other thing is, I really think, what is the guy's name? He's from Scotland. I can't remember it. It's coming to me. But if you were to go, his name's right on the edge of my tongue. Oh, rats. Ian McCowan?
Okay.
I think it's spelled M-C-K-E-O-W-N. Ian McCowan.
Okay.
That's his name. He has so many videos on YouTube, but he has a breathing technique that he demonstrates on how to clear the lungs of phlegm.
Okay.
But that's what YouTube is for, if you have the internet.
Okay, I do.
Oh, good. You're pretty high tech.
And so we're in the boonies, but we do get it.
When you say boonies, do you mean Reese, Texas?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You're from Reese.
No. I am from the boonies in the backside of Glendale.
Oh, way out in the deep, dark forest,
yes,
huh?
Yes.
I've heard that when there's coughing from the forest, all the animals start running for it.
Well, my husband's been running from me lately, and he's not an animal.
Oh,
but
no.
And I mean, so, really, it's gotten to the point where I'm sick and tired. I'm just wearing myself out coughing.
This next thing I'm going to tell you is going to be an experiment. Oh, no. But, I mean, you're telling me how serious this is, and you're ready to get closure on this, and I'm all for that. So if you were to go to the health food store and buy what are called plant-based enzymes, if it says digestive enzymes, what I'm going to have you do is, if they're plant-based, not animal-based, let's try the plant-based ones. Usually it's made from a fungus called Aspergillus, but if you'll get plant-based enzymes, I think I'm going to have you take one enzyme on an empty stomach just to test the waters and see how it does.
Okay.
And drink it with plenty of water.
Okay.
And if you will, swallow those enzymes, but I think I'm going to have you try to take one every 2 hours on an empty stomach.
Okay.
And I want to see if that helps clear up all the mucus and phlegm and clean the gunk out of your lungs.
Okay.
Now, I was sort of joking, but not really, but I'm a firm believer in, you know, cupping my hands and kind of going over those lung fields to just break up all that gunk so it can come out.
Yeah.
Because in a roundabout way, your lungs are like a big conveyor belt. And so if you would try the McEwen or Dr. McEwen's breathing technique. If you type in horrible coughing breathing techniques to clear it, I think you'll come up with a whole bunch. One herb that I like very much is called Chinese skullcap.
Okay.
And I am a huge fan of what's called colostrum.
Okay.
If you get raw bovine colostrum, I think this is really applicable when you have a chronic condition that just won't resolve and won't go away, and you've had this for, what, a good year?
Oh, at least.
I think we're ready for this to be a done deal.
Yes.
Next time I talk to you, I won't even hear you cough, right?
I certainly hope so.
But give these things a shot.
Okay, I need to ask you about the time.
Spoonful.
Okay, but is that like the kind you use in seasoning in your kitchen?
Absolutely, it is.
Okay, I have that. I mean,
well, then you're set on that. And I've seen that work over and over again. I've seen people buy the expensive essential oil of thyme, but I've seen the dry powder work over and over and over again.
Okay.
Just check the expiration date. It's like anything else. Once they grind a spice or an herb,
it starts to lose its
potency over time.
Okay. So the lemon in the water, and don't eat anything for 18 hours. Like, eat lunch and an evening meal. We usually eat 5:30 or 6, and then don't eat anything until the next morning about 10 or 11.
That's right.
Okay. I got it. I think I've got it.
Good. Let me know how it works out, please.
I will do. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Appreciate you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I couldn't get this to load on my phone, but I'm looking at side effects. What is a side effect? Blood in the urine. That doesn't sound good. But the top one is cough or cough-producing mucus. I didn't cover that topic with you, ma'am, and I apologize for that. But one scenario that I find over and over again takes place is people that have taken blood pressure medication, eventually they'll develop a cough from it. So that is one of the top side effects of taking, what's it called again? Olmesartan. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
Well, I was sitting in my car yesterday, and I turned to put my seatbelt on, and I have pulled something in my back.
Oh, no.
Well, it's above the it's kind of in the shoulder blade area, but it hurts to breathe. I mean, take a deep breath.
Oh, you pulled a rib out of place then.
You think I did?
Well, that's my first thought, yeah.
Okay.
Is your husband like a grizzly bear? Can he just grab you and shake you around and try to pop it back in place? I'm just joking about that.
What would he need to do?
Oh, that's too complex to try to bring
too
up.
Too complex?
Well,
okay.
I think so, yes. But, I mean, a good chiropractor should easily find the rib that's pushed out of place and push it back in place. And then you can breathe deeply without the sharp stabbing pain. See, you want to draw a good deep breath of air, but you just can't.
Right.
That's usually what I think is a rib is out of place. Now, I want to encourage you, because it can go back in place.
Okay.
And one of the techniques that I've used over the years, and I'm going to try to describe this, all you do is just stand up straight, and you take your arms to your side, and you just kind of like whip them around the front like you're
I've tried to do that. Just try to hug yourself?
No, not that.
No, not
you
that.
Let your arms go really loose and limp, and you just turn your body to the left to let your arms kind of swing side to side.
Okay.
Have you ever seen those toys to where you have like a stick with a string on it and like a little ball,
yes,
and you just
yes,
spin it between your hands? It's almost like it's not called dodgeball. What is that called where you have the pole and the tethered ball on it?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
on the playground,
about.
Whatever it's called. Yeah. One person gets on one side and you keep hitting it. And anyway, that's what I'm talking about. But you stand up straight. You're almost trying to spin your body to the left and the right quickly like a top. And you let your arms just kind of flail and swing around. But a lot of times that'll pull the ribs back in place.
Okay.
I know that's a horrible description, but that's about the best that I've got. But you can,
okay,
if you want to. You can put a heating pad on that. If the weather's not too bad today, you can go for a walk. But that rib can pop right back in place. It wants to.
Okay. Okay.
I wish I could be more helpful.
Well,
if you were here at the radio station, I could show you how to do it real easy. I mean, this would be like number 20,000 that I've done. You would think I'd know what I'm doing after that.
If it's not better by Monday, I'll come see you.
Well, I hope it's better by Monday. Hopefully, it'll go back into place today.
Okay.
You know what you should do? You should have your husband. You should tell him that Dr. Morgan said, "Sweetheart, I can't do any cooking today. Dr. Morgan said not to." Just see what happens. That'll
he'd
probably
be
go
fine
well.
With,
oh, I know he
he'd
would.
He'd be fine with that. He would.
He's awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your phone call.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let me read this to you real quick since we have just a few moments left. This comes from here's the title of the article. Prolonged Fasting Reboots the Immune System by Catherine Paddock, PhD. It was published at medicalnewstoday.com. I don't really have the date on here, but, you know, that's when it was. The longstanding debate concerning the potential risks and benefits of fasting has recently been brought to the forefront, with new research supporting the role of prolonged fasting in immune system regeneration. Results of a recent Phase 1 human trial published in the journal Cell Stem Cell suggest that cycles of prolonged fasting not only demonstrate chemoprotective properties, but likewise they trigger stem cell regeneration of new immune cells and the clearing of old damaged cells. Ah, that sounds good. For the study, participants were asked to fast regularly for periods of 2 to 4 days over a 6-month cycle. Along with a regenerated immune system, researchers from the University of Southern California observed reduced levels of IGF-1, a growth factor hormone linked to aging, tumor progression, and cancer risk. I think that's good to pay attention to. It gives the okay for stem cells to go ahead and begin proliferating and rebuild the entire system, noted Walter Longo, professor of gerontology and the biological sciences at the University of California. Isn't that interesting? And the good news is that the body got rid of the parts of the system that might be damaged or old, or the inefficient parts during the fasting. Oh boy. Now, if you start with a system heavily damaged by chemotherapy or aging, fasting cycles can generate literally a new immune system. I mean, folks, this is cutting-edge research. If your health is not what it should be, maybe you can consider even what I told the lady earlier, skipping breakfast. Maybe you could do it for 1 week. See if there's regeneration or rejuvenation of the tissues. The book.